Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:32 p.m. It's Monday, March 10, 2021. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Tom Raymond from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phone. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Drummond, Representative Christ Tompkins, my Vice Chair, Representative Snyder, and myself, Representative Clayman. We have a quorum to conduct the business. Our first and only order of business today is confirmation hearings. The Speaker referred the following governor's appointments to the Judiciary Committee, Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association. Members have received resumes for each appointment. The appointees are present and online and will testify. We will now open public testimony. Appointees, because you are on the phone, please make sure you are not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and it is often difficult to hear what you are saying. And we'll start alphabetically with Mr. Castillo. If you are online, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Ricardo Castillo, commonly known as Rick. Representatives of the committee, first and foremost, I just want to say how much of an honor it is for me to be considered as the appointee to the Board of Governors for the Alaska Bar. A little bit about myself. I was born in Lakewood, New Jersey, and had spent my youth there. I come from a large family where the volume level at holidays and gatherings were at times three times louder than the appropriate level for the number of people. I think that's just unique to Jersey culture. After some years in Jersey, my mother and father hit some rough patches, and my mother raised three children on her own in Florida, specifically Brevard County, which is known as the Space Coast. So I can tell you that I've now experienced two of the most incredible things you can see from your backyard, rockets going up into space, and of course, the Northern Lights. After graduating high school, I met the proverbial fork in the road, and I found myself in a U.S. Army recruitment office where I enlisted with an airborne contract that brought me to the 425th Airborne Brigade Combat Team with the 1st and 501st here in Anchorage. During this time, I learned of servant leadership and what it meant for others to rely on you genuinely and wholeheartedly, and how best to lead with integrity and character. In 2011, I exited the Army and enrolled into the University of Alaska, spent another couple of years in the Alaska National Guard. Since getting my bachelor's in supply chain management, I've held multiple capacities within the private sector, including transportation, distribution, oil and gas, and as of most recently, telecommunications. However, after leaving the Army, I wanted to interact with my community and learn more from Alaskans and learn more about the state that I was making my home. I began to shed some layers by associating with organizations like Leadership Anchorage through the Alaska Humanities Forum, which took me as far to Ukiavik, where I was able to work with middle schoolers on communication and leadership. I've been a Rotarian with Hillside Rotary, a PTA member at Northern Lights ABC in the Anchorage School District, and in 2020 was a candidate for Anchorage Assembly, CK, in District 6. That campaign taught me a lot about myself, especially navigating it through a pandemic, but it also showed me how much more I was willing to give to be an advocate for the people and to serve. Representative, I'm a 14-year Alaskan resident, and it's my desire to serve the Alaska Bar Association and represent the value of the different industries that I've worked in. As a public member appointed from the community, I'd like to introduce the ideas and best practices for the bar that reflects the values of the people of Alaska. My wife is a Alaska Communications Systems employee. She's worked there for most of her career, and my two daughters, Sydney and Isabel, are both in Northern Lights ABC, enrolled in the Anchorage School District. That concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Castillo. And I recognize while Mr. Castillo is making his remarks, Representative Vance joined us, as did Representative Kirka. Thank you very much for your testimony. And it is my intention that after we have heard from the nominees, then we will later turn to public testimony in addition to the public members who are nominated. And so we next go, it's my practice to limit questions to 1 minute per question. Are there questions from members of the committee for Mr. Castillo? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Castillo, of all of the various boards and commissions you could apply for, I'm curious why you chose this one.
Yes, through the chair. Representative, I believe the Alaska Bar Association, of course, is the gateway that permits attorneys to practice law within our state. I think to me it's important that attorneys are thoroughly vetted and trustworthy, seeing how bad actors can reduce the consumer confidence. I'd like to be confirmed in this appointment because as a public member, I want to represent the diverse voice from the public and the diversity of industries that they come from that help influence best practices within the bar, probably while also leveraging my own experience. I do believe that now is a great opportunity to help structure educational and professional requirements, which project the values that are inherent to the people of Alaska. I believe these to be integrity, honor, respect, liberty, and I believe that when instituted and promoted correctly, it ultimately leads attorneys to doing what's best for Alaska and also strengthening the brand of the association itself. So I hope that within my time on this board, I've just been able to influence it, evolve it, and grow it responsibly, and that the attorneys and lawmakers alike can be proud to be part of and practice under an association of the highest credibility that's reflective of the people's values in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see any other questions. Mr. Castillo, I'll just ask you, since you responded to the question from Representative Eastman, what's your understanding and your perspective on the continuing legal education requirements of the Alaska Bar?
Through the chair, Representative, I'll have to get back to you on that question. The legal requirements of continuing education, I do know that there's lots of different thoughts and ideas, but
Mr. Castillo, if the answer is you're not familiar with what they are, that's okay.
Yes, Representative.
All right. I don't see any other questions. Next online is William Granger. Mr. Granger, are you online? And if so, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Kleeman and members. My name is William Granger. I reside in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I've been pleased to have been on the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association several years, maybe 14, somewhere in that neighborhood, mainly serving as treasurer for the organization. Well, you know, my remarks aren't nearly as prepared as my predecessor here. Well done. Thank you. I have enjoyed my tenure with the Alaska Bar Association. I find it to be a very rewarding thing from a personal standpoint, a professional standpoint, and from a moral standpoint, if you will. I enjoy the intellectual camaraderie that's there. The ability to influence what our attorney membership in the state is working on and working towards, and changes that might happen in entry into the Bar Association, but also in discipline matters and the rules of the court and continuing education and things like that. So it's been an interesting past year, probably one of the most challenging years for the association, with the retirement of our long-time executive director, Deborah O'Regan. I think she was there 37 years. We have purchased the building that we have been leasing now for several years. That transaction was resulted in actually reducing our occupancy expenses without, any increase in undue risk, if you will. And we've managed to do all of this over the last several years without any increase in bar dues, which is important to those members that are there. But yet we still maintain our financial stability and integrity. So. After many years, I'm still pleased to serve and humbled by the governor's appointment to the position. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
So questions for Mr. Granger. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, and through the chair. Mr. Granger, I've never heard it said that anyone accused Alaska of having the easiest bar exam in the country, and I'm curious, as one of our longest-serving members of the Bar Association Board, what impact have you seen that the current bar exam and passage rates and so forth has had on the pool of available attorneys for Alaskans to choose from?
Well, very interesting and very good question. Traditionally, and I'm just going to be pretty broad brush here, traditionally Alaska's scores or the requirements to enter have been very high compared across the nation. I would say certainly in the top 10%, probably less than that. Generally speaking, an attorney needs to take a test in order to achieve consideration for admittance to the bar. That bar examination results in a score. Our scores have been very high compared to most other states in the nation. And another way a lawyer can gain admittance into the state is through taking that test in another jurisdiction and either obtaining a score high enough on that test to not only allow them into their jurisdiction, but also into our jurisdiction, or failing to meet our cut score, it's called, they would have to practice in their jurisdiction somewhere in the other 49 states for a period, I believe, of 5 years before they could actually apply to be considered in Alaska. So with the passage of the UBC, the Uniform Bar Code Test, attorneys who actually previously had not been able to get our score can come in under the five-year rule. And it's not a bad thing, you know. If they're smart enough to practice for 5 years and not get into trouble or anything like that, it works out pretty well. You know, there's been some interesting things with COVID this year and testing or not testing in other jurisdictions. Some lawyers have been admitted into states to practice within that particular state without ever actually having to take the bar exam, only graduating from an accredited law school within that jurisdiction. Very interesting. Those people who practice for 5 years in those jurisdictions without taking the bar exam will not be allowed to be entered into Alaska. So we've strived through these difficult times and changes in technology to maintain the high standards that we've always had for admittance to the Alaska bar. I hope that answers your question without being too wordy.
Follow up through the chair. Well, I appreciate your answer. And I guess the second part that I'm looking at is, and what impact has that had on the pool of applicants? Obviously, good scores are great as far as they come. Does that, of course, that limits, you know, the pool of applicants. Has that been a positive, a negative, or do you have any thoughts on that for us? Thank you.
You know, our pass rate has usually run in a 40% area. It kind of depends. You know, we have such a small pool that it only takes one or two people to pass or fail to really swing our percentages. But our pass rates, I believe, are pretty acceptable and have been pretty steady in the 40% area. It might actually touch 50 every once in a while, but not often. So I don't think there's been a terrific amount of change that we've seen yet. This cut score issue has been looked at by the Supreme Court here in the last 12 to 24 months as well. They specifically asked us to look at it to think whether our cut score was appropriate or not, and you know, if not, make a recommended change to them. And we elected not to make any recommendation.
Thank you,
Representative Kirka.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Mr. Granger, looking at your resume, it seems you've served on the Bar Board of Governors for some time, which means, as my understanding is correct, you've had the opportunity to vote on who sits on the Judicial Council. And I guess I would ask, what is your opinion of the performance of those people you voted for? The performance of the members, the attorney members of the Bar Association, the Judicial Council, and the quality of the selection they've given to our various governors in your term.
It's difficult for me to follow the successes, if you will, or failures of individuals on the judicial council. You know, I do get a chance to review their nominations for our recommendation to the governor. Of course, it is the governor's decision as to who he would or she might appoint to the judicial council. There has been, in the past, some controversy over our lack of choices given to the governor, not because they didn't like the choices, just I think because there wasn't enough of them. We weren't able to come up with enough people qualified and interested to serve, so kind of limited our ability there to make recommendations to the governor. But I think we've done a good job in vetting the people. We have a process we go through, and it seems to work well.
Follow-up?
I'm good for now. Thank you.
And I would note that in my 6 years serving on the Board of Governors of the Bar Association, Mr. Granger was a member of the Board of Governors the entire time. But just because I asked the same question of Mr. Castillo, I'll ask it slightly differently. But Mr. Granger, what's your perspective on the CLE requirements for the Alaska Bar, and can you tell us a little bit of your experience with the history of changes to those requirements during your time on the board?
Mr. Chairman, I might be a little fuzzy on exactly how and when these changes were made, but we have a mandatory ethics CLE requirement, and I believe all of the other CLEs are voluntary. I am really pleased to say that our CLE program is amazing. The amount of participation from not only the members of the Alaska Bar, but bar members across the nation is phenomenal. We've actually been able to turn it, our CLE programs into a revenue producing source for the association. And I am always pleased to see the robust amount of time that our bar at large puts into CLE. So currently I think we have just a mandatory ethics part. There is no other mandatory part of CLEs in Alaska.
And this is a memory test. Did we pass the change to add the mandatory ethics during your time on the board?
Yes, sir.
And that's all the questions I have for Mr. Granger. Does anybody else have any questions following up on the ones we've heard? All right, Mr. Granger, thank you very much for your testimony. We will now move to public testimony. At this point, there's only one person. I don't see anyone in the room that would like to testify. I see only one person online who would like to provide public testimony, and that would be Teresa Obermeyer. Dr. Obermeyer, welcome to House Judiciary Committee meeting. It's good to have you here. We generally limit public testimony to 2 minutes per person, so I'll give you 2 minutes, and when you hit the two-minute mark, I'll give you a warning.
That would be Teresa Obermeyer. Dr. Obermeyer, welcome to House Judiciary Committee meeting. It's good to have you here.
Dr. Obermeyer, you may need to turn off your television or turn off your speakerphone or turn off your computer so we only have you on the telephone, because we're getting a big echo.
Mr. Clayman, should I speak from my cell phone?
Whatever you're speaking from now is coming through loud and clear.
I'm going to turn off the volume on my computer. And can you hear me, sir?
Yes, turn the volume off on your computer, and we can hear you just fine.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I was pleased to hear some questioning of the two applicants.
Dr. Obermeyer, you actually need to state your name for the record. Even though I know exactly who you are,
yes,
you still have to state
okay.
it yourself.
Great. It's such a small world in Alaska. Teresa Obermeyer, Theresa. My middle maiden name is Nangle, N as in Nancy, Angle, and my last name is Obermeyer. OB as in boy, Ermeyer. And thank you for hearing me, Mr. Clayman, and the House Judiciary Committee. I was pleased that there was some questions by the committee. There really is a lot to look at by way of overview about what goes on at the Alaska Bar Association. We live in the only state in the United States that does not have a law school, and the only state in which there is no elected office holder who is required to be a member of the Alaska Bar Association. Now, I simply had emailed earlier this morning, Mr. Klayman, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit summary of the fabrications of a total of 12 judges against my good name. It really is unbelievable, and I would like to understand why. That this was all fabricated. But I'm very proud to mention that I also was charged in a jury trial, and I was acquitted. But in any of the other states, I should have had a civil lawsuit for vindictive prosecution. But I hope you'll look those documents over. And then the other thing I wrote was my request that I replace Mr. Granger as a public member of the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association. I hope that you will review my resume, which I'm very proud of my resume. I feel like I've worked hard. I have a PhD. I've been a certified teacher here since 1979. I've been a real estate broker, but I finally gave it that license up at the end of December 2020. I've been a Fulbright fellow.
Dr. O'Brien, you're at about the two-minute mark. I'll give you about 15 seconds to conclude. 15 seconds to conclude, and then we'll wind up.
Pardon me?
You've got 15 seconds to wind up your remarks.
Okay. Well, I included three references, although I do have a total of 35 if you'd like to review them. I hope that you would consider me as a public member of the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association. It really is time for more creative thinking on the Board of Governors. Thank you for hearing me, Mr. Klayman.
And thank you very much, Dr. O'Brien. Have a great afternoon. I don't see anyone else in the room, and I don't have anyone else in the queue online to provide testimony, so I'm going to close public testimony on the Board of Governors nominations. Having completed our comments, Representative Snyder.
Yes. One moment.
You're coming through loud.
The Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Rick Castillo and William Granger to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you, Representative Snyder. The names will be forwarded to the joint session. After we adjourn, please stay behind to sign the confirmation committee reports. There's actually two different reports, one for Granger, one for Castillo. Oh, I'm wrong. A single report. And before we adjourn, I actually want to note that at the budget meeting, Representative Eastman was inquiring questions about the microphone, and the speed with which the microphones have been managed is impressive by all counts, because I was thinking if they were there by Wednesday, it would be much to be pleased about, and I came in and lo and
behold, very pleased. Thank you.
Already fixed. So we will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, March 10 at 1:30 p.m. If anyone is considering an amendment to House Bill 105, please let our office know and submit them electronically by noon on Tuesday, March 9th. It is my intention, that's tomorrow. It is my intention to take amendments to House Bill 105 during our meeting on Wednesday and then pass the bill out of committee following final questions and discussion. Please plan to attend Wednesday's meeting in person to sign the paperwork. And with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:57 p.m.